This morning we welcome Bobby Ray Marsh and Scott back. We're glad that y'all are with us this morning. Y'all toot your horns out there. We ain't got many people inside this morning to give a hand, but we will give this hand to them. We're glad they're here. Also, by way of a prayer request, we want to keep Miss Alma on our prayer list. She is in room 115 at Westfield. She's been moved from the hospital. Her breathing's better, but at Westfield, I'm assuming it's some kind of rehab going on there. However, you know, she can't have visitors, and she doesn't hear very well on the phone, but y'all keep in touch there if you can, and I'll let you know any updates I get from Teresa. Also, we want to keep everyone else in prayer. Miss Rita, we want to keep her lifted up in prayer as she recovers from the stroke. I think she's getting stronger, the way I understand it, from the COVID. So we want to keep them lifted up. Also, keep Miss Jean Ford's family lifted up after her passing, and just the busyness and COVID at some workplaces. They are still in the grieving process as things are slowing down a little bit. We do want to thank everyone, if you're listening online, that has been sending in donations in memory of Miss Jean, Miss Jean Ford, Mama Jean, as she's called, touched a lot of lives. And in that, we know that through her children and their testimony, that they have reached a lot of people, and a lot of the friends of the family and in-laws and things have been sending in contributions, and we thank you for that. This morning, Scott and Bobby's going to come. We're going to do music, and about the second song, we'll pray for the offering. We'll take up offering. If you're in the parking lot, Jose will be coming around taking up the offering. If he doesn't see you, just kind of toot your horn and roll down the window, or hold your hand out the window so he can see you. If something happens and you do not get to give your offering in, you want to give it at the close, just put it in the big mailbox out there, or see Jose then. He'll have his mask and all on, he'll come up to your window. We're going to ask Bobby Ray and Scott to come, and then we're going to jump right in here this morning. Amen.
Good morning. This morning, good to see you all here, and the ones out in the parking lot listening by WESS West. Back in the day, I remember, you know, singing at live radio and walking into the radio station, you know, just most time there was a lot of Sunday mornings, a lot of preachers had programs, you know, and had different people come in and sing, and so we'd go in and sing, stand around one mic and just sing. Didn't know if anybody's listening or not, you know, but getting him guitar on here. We're going to, I love a guitar, but I try to play mine, but they require a lot, don't they? All right.
I saw light.
I saw light. Seems like we got behind trying to.
Time flies when you're having fun. Is that right?
A flat. Yes, I'm in the wrong key.
Fooled me there.
I did. Well, I wonder, so aimless, life filled with sin. I wouldn't let my dear Savior in. Then Jesus came like a stranger in the night. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Just like a blind man, I wandered along. Worries and fears I claimed for my own. Then like the blind man, that God gave back his sight. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I was a fool to wander and stray. Straight is the gate and narrow's the way. Now I have traded the wrong for the right. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. I saw the light, I saw the light. No more in darkness, no more in night. Now I'm so happy, no sorrow inside. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light. Praise the Lord, I saw the light.
Thank you, thank you. You can push your guitar up just a little bit if you want to, Scott.
Meet me on the other side.
Yeah, meet me on that side. We, I believe your clock was off a while ago, wasn't it? I thought you starting. I thought it ain't time to start, and we didn't have our list together. So, excuse me, we're going to wing it a little bit this way. He started, I thought, he's early, and we went.
So if we sing two different words, don't worry about it. We're trying.
Oh, man. Beat me over on the other side.
Jesus told his faithful disciples, meet me over on the other side. I will meet you in the waters you have crossed. But in midst of stormy sailing, what do we do? They fearfully cried. Out of darkness came his answer, meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging waters, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you, in my hand you're safe from harm. Waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing, that's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows, meet me over on the other side. God still speaking to his children, meet me over on the other side. Though the storms of life are many when we reach our goal, but he is watching for the storm clouds. He will be our savior and guide. Can't you hear him gently beckon? Meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging waters, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you, in my hand you're safe from harm. Waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing, that's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows, meet me over on the other side. Do not fear the raging waters, trust in me and face the storm. I will calm the winds around you, in my hand you're safe from harm. Waves cease rolling and the winds stop blowing, that's my child in the midst of the tide. Be not afraid of the tossing billows, meet me over on the other side. Be not afraid of the tossing billows, meet me over on the other side.
Thank y'all so much. Y'all toot your horn out there for Bobby and Scott. Y'all give them a hand in here. Thank y'all. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Kind fathers, we just hear these words of these songs, Lord, and think about the light. We think about that you came into the world as life, and that life was light, light that shines into the darkness. Lord, we just thank you for your promises that we have in Christ Jesus and the offer we have to spend eternity with you as they was just singing about Jesus telling the disciples to meet him on the other side. that, Lord, that no matter what's happening in this world, there's better days ahead. Our hope is in our future with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our trust is in the Holy Spirit helping us deal with the disappointments, the hurts, the habits, the hang-ups, the things that go on in this earth, because we know one day we will be in a better place. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you that you are recreating all things according to your glory and your holiness. And Lord, this morning, as we take this opportunity to tithe, Lord, to give back the first fruits of what we've received this week, we thank you for ingraining in us and teaching us about trust, that what we do with the first fruits out of everything we receive from you determines how much we trust you. This morning, Lord, we give to you and trust you to take care of us the rest of this week. In Jesus' holy and precious name we pray. Amen. As Bobby and Scott start back singing, Jose will be coming around, and y'all can give your tithes and offerings that way in the white bucket. If you're in here, when you get ready to leave, you can just drop it in one of these white buckets. And we thank you for your prayers and your spiritual support and your financial support of Hunt Springs Baptist Church.
Thank you, Wes. Well, I like that old song. Jesus said, meet me over on the other side. There's always the other side to our troubles and what we're going through. And I'm very thankful for that. Many, many times he's brought me through to the other side, and he always will. And this is a song we've been singing now for a pretty good while. We enjoy it since everybody's going through something. There's a woman living next to me, just trying to make ends meet. She's just one check away from losing it all. There's a broken man I know, barely holding on to hope. He's trying to get back up from his last fall. And me, I'm dealing with my own trials that no one else can see. But without Jesus, tell me, where would I be? Everybody's going through something. Everybody faces a storm now and then. So if everybody's going through something, I'd rather go through something with him. Storms come and waters rise, and everybody cries. It's part of living while we're living here below. But I know I'm not alone on this road I'm walking on. If I put my trust in him, I've nothing to fear. And when life seems so uncertain, this one thing I know, there's a God who will see me through. Everybody's going through something. Everybody faces a storm now and then. So if everybody's going through something, I'd rather go through something with him. Everybody's going through something. Everybody faces a storm now and then. So if everybody's going through something, I'd rather go through something with him. I'd rather go through something with him. That's the way to do it, isn't it? Go through things with the Lord. Boy, it's a whole lot easier, isn't it? Yeah, I can't imagine what people go through that don't know the Lord when they're going through their trials and so forth. It's just a blessing to be able to go with the Lord, He with us.
Try a little kindness there.
Okay. And I hope I remember where your guitar break is. Let's see. Flat. We sing this past year with the COVID and all, it's been trying on everybody. But Scott and I have been blessed to be able to minister basically every Sunday that somewhere, and we're very thankful for that. And although there's so much going on, the Lord's still got a lot going on, hasn't He? And so this is a song at another church we play at quite a bit and lead worship there. Is a lady asked us if we knew this song, so we've been trying to do it a little bit, and I hope I remember the intro. If you see your brother standing by the road with a heavy load from seeds he sowed, if you see your sister standing by the way, just stop and say, you're going the wrong way. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. Don't go around down and out, lend a helping hand instead of doubt. And the kindness you show every day might help someone on their way. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. You've got to try a little kindness, show a little kindness, shine your light for everyone to see. And if you try a little kindness, then you'll overlook the blindness of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. Of the narrow-minded people on the narrow-minded street. Well, that's everybody knows that song from Glen Campbell, but that's a good song. That's a good song, good message. Because even Christians, sometimes we're not always nice, are we? That's to ask my wife. She knows about me.
And this is a song that the Lord blessed me with years ago. I did it down here a few months ago, but it's about testifying to somebody that don't know the Lord that you hadn't seen in a long time.
Well, I want your attention. You know it's been too long. We used to talk and share our time, now the timing is all wrong. Now the timing is all wrong. The years seem to speed right by, our paths never cross. And if they do, we're in a hurry. Seems routine is our boss. Seems that routine is our boss. Thank you. tell you my life has turned around because someone shared with me. See, I was lost, but now I'm found. I was lost, but now I'm found. Jesus is the one I met. He washed me with his blood, and all the answers he will have for us when we join him up above. When we join him up above. If you accept him as promises, loved ones will never part. When our bodies fail, you must understand that this is just the start. That this is just the start. And we will meet in heaven. We'll take our time, you see. We'll just sit down together and have these talks. Come to Jesus and follow him. Come to Jesus and follow him.
Okay. Right. We just on a roll here. We're going to feature Scott on another one real quick, and he's a great musician. He writes a lot of good songs. He plays a mean guitar.
My guitar's not mean, it's nice.
Yeah. It sounds mean when he goes to picking it, I'll tell you. See if I can pick this song. He wants me to pick stuff, and I pick, but not a guitar. Oh, man.
See you coming, I will rise up with a shout
and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. For I'll be standing on the far side banks of Jordan. I'll be waiting, drawing pictures in the sand. And when I see you coming, I will rise up with a shout and come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand. And come running through the shallow waters, reaching for your hand.
Let's try. We're about to run out of time here. Let's do the new one right
quick. We got one. We're going to
try to do it this morning. I can't tune a guitar either. My daughter called me the other day and said somebody her husband knew has a really nice Martin 12 string. Would I be interested? I said, oh, no. I said, I have such a problem with six strings tuning, let alone 12. It ain't gonna happen. Not at all. Oh, man. This is a new song, Nobody Loves Me Like You. Let's see if we can do this thing this morning.
I see you in the sunrise every morning. It's like a picture that you painted for me. A love letter in the sky. Story. I could have had a really different story. But you came down from heaven to restore me, forever save my life. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Mountains, you're breaking down the weight of all my mountains. When it feels like I am surrounded, you'll never leave my side. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as I am breathing. God, you are faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. Oh, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song to sing. Oh, what a song my heart keeps singing. Oh, what a song. Nobody loves me like you love me, Jesus. I stand in all of your amazing ways. I worship you as long as faithful and true. Nobody loves me like you. nobody loves me like you.
Thank y'all so much. Y'all give him another hand and a toot in the parking lot. Probably should have asked Bobby Ray a long time ago. We've been friends and doing ministry together for a pretty good while now, and he might just want me to call him Bobby and put his name on the screen as Bobby. When I first met him, Miss Mary said, "You need to call Bobby Ray." And I said, ever since then, I've known him as Bobby Ray. Amen. If y'all here this morning and you got your Bible with you, or if you're online listening, after a while, take your Bibles this morning, turn to the Gospel according to John. The Gospel according to John, that's the fourth Gospel. It's right after Luke and just before Acts, if you're looking for it there in your Bible. And as we get there this morning, we are part two of a sermon that we started last week. If you're looking at a sermon series, we see that this morning, we're still continuing in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And last week, I said the big idea of these 18 verses is that Jesus accomplishes the creative work of God. And that there's six truths in these 18 verses that make the object of our faith central to God's creative acts. And I know that sounds like it's very theological and a lot going to it, but if you would look and just simply think of it this way, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18 simply tells us who Jesus is, why Jesus came, and how Jesus came, or how Jesus arrived. We talked about the word there, genomai, which means to make, to become, or become, or became, or to happen. It's a lot of nuances to that word. And John uses that word or a form of this word, including two adjectives here, that means one and only. He uses it 10 times in these 18 verses. Now, as we look at this morning, I don't want to spend a lot of time in review. But if you remember, we talked about the Logos. I know everyone's heard the word Logos. You think about it every time you come to John chapter 1. Logos simply means the Word. But the understanding of what Logos is more than just words on a written page. It's more than just a word spoken. When you think of Logos, you're thinking about the full expression of a thought. God thought something and is fully expressed in the Word of God, which is Jesus Christ. I said last week that if Mona wants me to do something, she kind of looks at me. A lot of times I pick up on her thought, knows what she wants me to do. But if I'm going out the door and I just kind of didn't pay attention to the facial expressions or what she was pointing at, she might say, "Hey, take the trash out." That's a full expression of the thought that she had. Now, with God, Jesus Christ is the full expression of all things. He made all things. He always existed with God. He also makes a witness within creation. They sung about that as you see the sun. Psalm 19 tells us that we can look at creation and see that God has got a witness for himself. But here in verse 6, it says that there came a man sent from God. That's John the Baptist. God creates a witness. John the Baptist was the last Old Testament witness. Jesus is the ultimate witness, though, of who God is and God's plan, God's creation, and God's redemption. And also, Jesus came to make us children of God. Now, this morning, what we want to do is look at how Jesus came to earth. We talked about why he came. The reason he came was to make us children of God, to reveal God's plan to us. Now, this morning, if you will, look at verse 14, and we'll begin there. Verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh." In other words, God become man. God took on flesh. God was clothed in flesh. And it says, "And he dwelt among us, and we saw his glory." Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. John, this is John the Baptist, testified about him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a greater rank than I, for he existed before me.'" Verse 16, "For of his fullness we have received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten of God is in the bosom of the Father. He has explained him." Let us pray. This morning, Lord, as we come before you, these truths, the truths about Christ, the truths that make him the object of our faith, our sustainer, our creator, our redeemer. Lord, all these truths, I pray this morning, in the next few minutes here, that we can see them, realize them, hold on to them, and Lord, share them with others this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, who is Christ? Christ is fully God. Christ created all things. There's nothing created that wasn't created by God. Jesus come to live on this earth. As I've always said, the life that we should have lived, he died the death we deserved, was buried, was raised for our forgiveness. If we believe in him, he gives us the right, verse 12, to become children of God. He comes to make us children of God. Jesus is the creative force behind our redemption, behind us being remade into the image of Christ, into the image of God that we was created to represent. Ephesians chapter 2 says that our redemption is a gift of God, is not a result of works. Why? So that no man would boast. We would boast if we could save ourselves. Everything we have, everything we see, everything we experience is a gift from God. That's called common grace. And our saving grace is our salvation, that when we believe in Christ Jesus, we are made into children of God. We're not born of blood nor of flesh, but of the will of God. God recreates us to become his children. Now this morning, we want to talk about how Jesus arrived or how he came. Verse 14 says, "And the word," or the logos, "became flesh." Now, this week's been a lot of talk on the news about Larry King. Larry King passed away at 87 years old. And I've heard a lot of little clips of Larry King this week, and I've heard some in the past. And some of them, if you don't have the context, you don't really understand exactly what he's saying. He sounds more like an atheist, but he was a professed agnostic, which means, you know, I don't really know how I can know these things are true. But I saw an interview back years ago, and they was interviewing him, and because he's interviewed so many important people through the years, they asked him, if you could interview anybody you've never interviewed, who would it be? And he said, Jesus Christ. And then they said, well, what would you ask him? And he says, quote, "I would ask him if he was born of a virgin, because if he was, that would define my whole understanding of history." Now see, Larry King was saying, I don't know how I can believe all this, but if it is true that Jesus Christ became flesh, that God clothed himself in flesh, it would change all my understanding, my worldview about how everything came into being, how everything exists, how everything operates, and how everything will end. So this is an important truth that you not only need to understand, but you need to be able to share with other people. Peter says we need to be ready to give an account or defense for the faith or for the hope that is in us. It says here that the word became flesh. Now, when it says it became flesh, it's not saying that Jesus was born a man and he gave up all his godness. What it is saying is that Jesus, fully God, added humanity to himself. Best way I can explain that, and write this down if you're taking notes, is Philippians chapter 2. In Philippians chapter 2, it says that Jesus existed in the form of God, but did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but he emptied himself. So Jesus set aside his power, his knowledge, and the things that made him who he was. In other words, when he come to earth, he come as a baby. He come in a way that he could understand and be tempted with all things we are. And it says here, but he emptied himself by taking on the form of a bondservant and being found in the likeness of a man, that he humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. And because of this, God exalted him and lifted him to his right hand. We know all that. When it says taking on, Jesus, fully God, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit, took on flesh, was born, and has been tempted in all things that we are tempted in. And you say, well, so how did he come to earth? A miracle. He was born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the creative power of God. Christ took on the form of humanity, and he could be tempted in all things that we're tempted in. But Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 said, yet he sinned in nothing that he did. When we think about this, the word becoming flesh, it says, and he dwelt or tabernacled amongst us, and we saw his glory. Glory is one of the only begotten. This means one and only from the Father, full of grace and truth. Colossians 1 says that it was in God's pleasure that he caused the fullness of deity to be in Christ. The fullness of God in Christ. Christ is fully God, never separated from God, yet he took on flesh and he dwelt, or he tabernacled, or he pitched his tent among us. Literally, if you go camping and you get to a campground, everybody's setting up their campers, setting up their tents. Little by little, you see everybody setting up their campground, their campsite, and getting set up to what? They're going to live there for the weekend. You see it coming. The tabernacle goes all the way back to the Old Testament. In the tabernacle, we realize that it is the presence and the power of God. It says here, and we saw his glory, glory of the only begotten, or the only one like him. In the Old Testament, when they set up the tabernacle, Exodus chapter 40, verse 23, 24, right in there, it says that the glory of the God, or the cloud, come down upon the tabernacle, and the glory of God filled the tabernacle. And it goes on to say, and Moses couldn't enter it because of the presence of God. Now, when it says here that we see his glory, it's talking about the fullness of God come to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, and they saw the presence of God among humanity. Now, when you talk about the presence of God or the glory of God, we're talking more than Jesus just walking with the disciples. We're talking about Jesus revealing God's excellence of character, his renown, who he is, his graciousness, his loving kindness, his mercifulness. It's all of God that Jesus is revealing to us. And it says he became flesh. Now, why is that so important? Think about this. If Jesus had just come to this earth and showed us what to do as God and died for our sins, he wouldn't have been dying for the sins we committed, because why? He wouldn't have been man. If God in the Spirit had just come. But as Christ come, and as the Spirit of God, and took on flesh, being fully God and fully man, he could, as a man that was sinless, die for our sins. Now, I don't want to get too theological here, but this is something you really need to understand. In the 70s, when I grew up, we often said, just ask Jesus into your heart. Jesus will change your heart. You need a new heart. Well, guess what? Our heart is not the only problem that we have. When we sin, our problem is our heart that directs us, but our thinking and our thoughts are also sinful. When Jesus died, being fully man, he died for your bad thinking and for your bad heart. So when we get saved, when he causes us to become children of God, he not only forgives our guilt that we feel in our heart, he gives us a new way of thinking. So if you say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and God's grace is good, and I know I do some things wrong, but they're not as bad as everybody else, so I'm going to keep doing them. Hogwash. If Christ has died for your sins and changed your heart, he's give you a new way of thinking. Now, you have the responsibility of starting to study God's Word, pray, depend on the Holy Spirit, and start changing your thinking so that your heart desires will be changed. A lot of our heart gets changed because our thinking gets changed. We start thinking and deciding who Christ is. He come in the flesh. He dwelt among us. He revealed the glory. John says that he saw the glory of God, that he saw the presence of God. John says this in 1 John chapter 1. He says, what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, and the life was manifested, and we have seen it and testified to proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen, what we have heard, what we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us. John says that we seen Jesus in the flesh. We've seen God in his fullness, how he's come. As Christians, once we're saved and we have seen the light, so to speak, when we know that we have our salvation secure, we need to share that with others. It says here in verse 14 that he is the only begotten, or the one and only. In other words, there is only one kind like Jesus that is full of grace and truth. Grace is speaking of God's rescue plan or his redemption. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, God tells Adam and Eve, y'all sinned against me. Death has entered in the world. You're separated from me in darkness, but I will shine light into the world through your seed. There will come a descendant who eventually we realize when we read the Bible is Jesus Christ. He will bring the grace of God to humanity. And it says he is full of grace and truth. There is grace in no one else. There is truth in no one else. Jesus is the fullness of truth revealed, but he's also the fullness of God's grace. Grace is God giving us something we do not deserve. Grace is divine favor. We didn't deserve to be made into children of God. We'd already messed that up. We were prodigal children. We had run off from God. But God welcomed us back through the blood of Christ. It's grace and truth. Now, verse 15 tells us that John the Baptist testified about him and cried out, saying, so saying is like I'm speaking now, crying out, so that preaching voice like this. John didn't just say, hey, I want to tell y'all about Jesus. He's coming. John said, no, look, I'm excited. I want to tell y'all about Jesus. Now, when was the last time you were sharing with a lost loved one, a family member, or a friend, and you got so excited that you're up on your tiptoes trying to tell them about Jesus like you're telling them about your favorite sport? This is what John said. He cried out, speaking or saying to them that this is he of whom I said, look, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, because why? He existed for me. John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, was born 6 months before Jesus was. But John says, look, here's the truth you need to know. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. In other words, Jesus always existed. He is God. It's never been a time that he wasn't here. He has a higher rank than I. In other words, I'm testifying that he is the life, and in the life is the light. But guess what? I'm just coming to tell y'all about it. It'd be like me going in a dark room and Bobby Ray and Scott being with me, and we up at the Cowboy Barn or somewhere, we get ready to play, it's dark, and I turn on the light. Well, it just gets light in there. And they know the light's on. But what if I turned around and said, look, Bobby, look, Scott, there's the light bulb. There's the light. Guess what? It's not just we deserve to be in the light. Look, the light is shining. That's what John the Baptist was saying. He says, look, the life has come. It is the light. Let me tell you who it is. It ain't me. I got a message. But the message is about someone greater than me. It is about the Word, the Logos. It is about Jesus Christ. He existed before I did. And in verse 16, John, that is writing this, not John the Baptist, goes back to tell us why he is saying this. He says, for of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. In other words, here's the reason he is greater than I. He says, we have received fullness and received, or the gospel has made known. Jesus is the creative force that is the one and only of its kind. He is, it's not anyone else at any time been like Jesus. And when it says grace upon grace, it's talking about, Miss Lori loves the beach. You like the waves? When the waves roll in, if you go back out there the next day, the waves are rolling in. When a wave comes in, spreads out, and the ocean sucks it back, what? Another wave comes on top of it. That's the idea here. He says, look, he's greater than I am. He's full of grace and truth. Because why? Grace upon grace. Throughout all of history, throughout all the Bible, God has showed his people grace. Grace upon grace. Grace through the Old Testament, through the sacrifices, through all the shadows that point to Jesus, through the tabernacle, through the Passover. That's all God's grace, bringing people to him. And now that Christ is here, the fullness of that grace is realized, but grace continually comes in every morning. Day by day, even if you're saved, you'll do things wrong. You need to confess them, and Jesus will forgive you and cleanse you off from all unrighteousness. More grace is upon you. But he goes on to explain more about this grace upon grace for the next reason. He says the law was given through Moses. Moses was the prophet that all the Jewish people look back to. Moses was a great prophet. But in Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 5, Moses says, look, I'm not going to make it into the promised land with y'all, but I will be in heaven. But he says, y'all going to need a prophet, and there's going to be a lot of prophets raised up. But he says, one day, God's going to raise up a prophet from among his people, the Jews. And he's going to be a greater prophet than I am, because he's going to give you something I couldn't give. He says, oh, I gave you the law. Now, here's the grace of the law. The grace of the law was not that it wasn't that it would forgive us. The grace of the law was that it would point us to our sinfulness and to our need of Jesus and point us ahead to Jesus. Paul said it is our tutor that teaches us until the fullness come, which is Jesus Christ. He says that in Galatians. So have you got rules and laws in the Bible? Yes. Why? To show us that we are sinful. But Christ come and he brought grace. What is grace? Did you break the law? Bobby Ray, you ever sinned? Amen, right? I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but we've all sinned. I've told you before, first time I ever really remember sinning, I was real little, and I used my mama's wash rag to do some staining with some Minwax. And I knew it was messed up, and then she was asking me about that wash rag. So, you know, I was a pretty smart fella. I wasn't real tall, probably about 5-6 years old. So I hid it real good from her, amen? And then she asked me about that wash rag, and I said, quote, Mama, I don't know where it is. And she says, son, I think you do. Do you mean to tell me you don't know where that wash rag is? And I said, no, ma'am. And right then, I realized that I had lied to my mama. Now, nobody had to tell me that. She hadn't even caught me yet. But she went on upstairs. I saw the disappointment in her face. And so in a few minutes, I couldn't help it. I had to go tell her, Mama, I lied to you. Here's the rag, but I don't think you'll ever be able to use it again. Amen. Point being, the law, the Ten Commandments, the things I'd heard growing up that my mama, my next door neighbor who babysitted me, my grandma had taught me that what? Thou shalt not lie. Hey, when I was little, that thou shalt not murder, that thou shalt not commit adultery, I didn't really care about them. I was too little. But I did know I wasn't supposed to lie. The law was given to us to point us to Christ Jesus, to point us to live in faith. The giving of the law was a matter of grace. And if we live by faith, that will result in obedience to God's word. And this is what it says, when grace and truth was realized through Jesus Christ. Paul says that Jesus is our amen and our yes to all the promises of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. And this is exactly what it's saying. If you want to know God's grace, you need to know Jesus Christ, because the promises of God's rescue, of His redemption, of His people, to reclaim them and to draw them back into His kingdom by making us worthy to be in the presence of a holy God, that grace was realized in Jesus Christ. And the truth that is in Jesus is that what? God keeps all His promises. Every promise in this Bible is fulfilled in the person of Jesus Christ. They were realized. This idea of realized was made known. Now verse 18 says, no one has seen God at any time. God is spirit. Amen. Isaiah saw the robe of God filling the temple, fell on his face. It says Moses saw God face to face, but it was speaking about them having an intimate communion or communication there. When Moses asked God if he could see his face, God said what? No, you can't see my face and live. Why? Holy. I'm holy. You're not. He says, but you can see my backside as my glory passes. And when God walked by Moses and had his hand over him, protecting him, shielding him, just like the grace of Christ shields us from the wrath of God. He says, the Lord your God, full of loving kindness. That loving kindness is speaking of grace. It's speaking of mercy. And if you remember the story, Moses' whole face glowed because he had seen the backside of God, and his glory had caused his whole face to shine because he was in the presence of God. And it says here, look, no one at any time has really seen God as he is. And it says the only begotten, or the only one of his kind, the only Son of God, the only God that took on flesh, who is in the bosom of the Father, or at his side, or at the fold in his garment, is what it's talking about, in his pocket, like I'm putting this mask in my pocket. Christ has always what? Been with God, been God, always, and now he's come to earth, and here's the beauty of what we need to know about Christ. He has explained him. He explained God. This is where we get our word exegete, to uncover and explain, like when you're doing preaching. Jesus come so we could know fully who God is, so that we could know why he sent his son. It was to save us. And how did Jesus arrive? Through a virgin birth, fully God, fully man, sinless. Luke says that he'll be called holy. Why? Because he's conceived of the Holy Spirit. That is the gospel message. We live in an age now that people call me all the time and want to know, how can people say they are Christian and they do this and they do that? Larry King also did an interview with Jay Baker. And in that, they was talking about the emerging church movement. The emergent church movement started in the late 20th century, and it's come over into the 21st century, and it's still going. Basically, what it says, and this is in Protestant churches, Baptist churches, meaning Methodist churches, it is the idea that as culture advances, Christianity has to change to keep up. In that interview, they asked Jay Baker, they said, now, how would you explain that when it comes to faith? And he said, well, you got belief and you got faith. Belief is something I can see and pick up and have in my hands. Now, faith is something I just kind of hope or wish will come true. Now, what's wrong with that? We don't have the assurance of salvation. We don't know the fullness of God's grace or the fullness of His truth. Our faith is that I believe everything God says is true. And because Jesus came and died for my sins, I can believe that. He was buried and raised. Says that He came as the life. The life was the light, yet humanity or the world couldn't overtake it. When God raised Jesus from the grave, death, deception, and the devil had nothing over Him. The light shone forth into all humanity. Now, I know this sounds like it's been very theological and might be sounding deep, but God wants you to know this morning who Jesus is, why He came, and how He arrived. He arrived through the virgin birth. He came to save sinners separated from God, and Jesus is fully God. So as we close, if you want to explain this to somebody today at lunch, here's the easiest way you can explain these 18 verses. The most important decision you'll make in your life depends on how you answer these four questions. First of all, you got to decide who Jesus is. Simply say, if they say, what did the preacher preach about? He told us Jesus is God. Then you need to ask, why did Jesus come? You simply say, Jesus come to make us into children of God, because we've all sinned and fell short of the glory of God. How did Jesus come? He was born of a virgin by the power of the Holy Spirit. And last, will you accept the first three truths? Will you accept that Jesus offers grace and truth to its fullness? That is the message that John wants us to share this week. Let us pray. If you're here this morning and you've been saved a long time, in Matthew, Jesus promises that if we'll go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all He says, that lo, He'll be with us forever. Jesus' presence is with us if we just share these truths from the beginning of John's gospel. This morning, I challenge you to ask somebody today who Jesus is, and then you share with them these verses. Ask them why Jesus come. Share with them John 1:12. Ask them how Jesus come, and just tell them He came in the flesh. And then ask them whether you accept Jesus' offer of truth and grace. If you're here this morning and you don't know the peace that you can have with Christ, if you don't know that Christ can make you a child of God, if you've never surrendered and said, Lord, I believe that You did come to this earth. You lived on this earth. You never sinned. You died for my sins. You was raised for my justification. I'm asking You, Lord, to forgive me today and take control of my life. I want to be saved and live for You. If you've prayed that, tell somebody today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Try me, Lord, You know my heart. Search me here as I am. I'm sure You can see the weakness. this in me. Mold me, I'm the clay in your hand. Lord, should I stray from the straight and narrow way, and what you would have me to be. Help me deal with this self-stubborn will that brings out the weakness in me. Try me, Lord, you know my heart. Search me, hear as I am. I'm sure you can see the weakness in me. Mold me, I'm the clay in your hand. Cleanse me now as I humbly bow, while watching from heaven above. Look on these tears and fill my heart with your love. Try me, Lord, you know my heart. Search me, hear as I am. I'm sure you can see the weakness in me. Mold me, I'm the clay in your. I'm sure you can see the weakness in me. Mold me, I'm the clay in.